All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer in the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for your soon return. And Lord, bless us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We're one day closer to your soon return. That always amazes me. One day you're going to meet him face to face.
Amen.
I look forward to that. We're still on page 17 in the Holy Communion book. Got my glasses. Okay.
You know, what verse number do you have on your glasses?
I don't know. These are some reading glasses. I think they're 2.0.
You know, you can get them from the dollar store for a dollar. We might ought to keep you there.
Yeah, that's what I did. I went to Walgreens and got them.
Well, you can get them for a dollar at the dollar store. Yeah. Temporarily for any
year from the year. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're still on page 17. It says, this is the middle of the paragraph. Says the Lord has made special provision for our health, and this is all found in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. When we come to partake at His table, it is one of my great passions of life to see the body of Christ receive every single thing that our Savior suffered and died to give us. And I know that when God's people are correctly taught about how healing is dispensed at the Lord's table, health and wholeness will follow it. It will add years to our life and life to our years.
Amen.
And sometimes I've been mildly sick, but when I think about what the Lord suffered, I persevere to be healed. And it, because He paid a high price for each one of us to win, to have health. And And to live the life without pain, it's not His will for us to live by any attack of the enemy. He made provisions for our authority, to have authority over Satan. We can have authority over our body. We can speak to sickness and drive it out. Brian Culver's made a book called Living in Your Measure. And one of the things Jesus said was the way we measure His word will be measured back to us. And I always desire, some things you're better at than others. And when things are not moving along like I wanted to, I ask the Lord why, so that I can correct my end. And some of the things that I found is you have to receive God's word in your heart.
Amen.
And when you receive it in your heart, that's the easiest way to perform it, to not just in obedience, but to receive the promises, to receive healing, for somebody else, to help others grow. Not just physical healing, but things people suffer with, depressions and aggravations, mental problems. And I want to be able to, whatever I need, I want to be able to get it. And because He paid a high price for us. And I was considering that yesterday. One thing that I thought about, this is in Genesis chapter 1. In the next classes, I'll look at it again. But He said, verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That was a problem, and the earth got judged. Verse 4 is what I want to get to, but verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now watch verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The light represents the way of love and holiness and wisdom and truth. And darkness represents everything against it. He chose the light. He saw the light that it was good, and God divided. He made a division. And he chose the light. It's worded as if the light overcame the darkness and he divided. When God made the tree, we see the same scenario. He made the tree of life for Adam to choose, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for Adam to reject. And because he said, the day you eat of this tree, you should surely die. That suggests that leave this one alone. Don't eat of it. And what happens is, in the world, people kind of do both. They just, they're used to the world, but they love God. And sometimes people love God, but they are neutral about the world. The world system and the darkness of the world has to be driven from. You have to decide, I hate that. So David said he hates the evil way. If you're neutral about anything of the world, even if an attack that's against you, if you're neutral about it, you won't get rid of it. And because the Lord said that if you don't drive out the Canaanites, they'll be like smoke in your eyes and thorns in your side. And they partially drove them out and made a deal with the Gideonites. And they were, they caused, their influence hung around. And before you know it, Israel's worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth and giving, sacrificing their children to Molech. And then they ended up being blinded and driven out of their land. And some of them never returned yet. So when you, it's our responsibility to do away with the things of the world and receive everything of God. When the way of life, as we receive His word in our hearts, we become like a fortress. It, when you partake of the body of Christ, you're observing His body, what He did for you. You're internalizing, you're receiving that word, and when His word gets strong in your heart and you speak it, that's a law. It has to happen. The cancer has no choice but to dissolve itself and leave. The problems, the enemy has to run. He doesn't want to, but he does. He's happy to get away when we take authority over him. And these are principles that when everything that God did, we should do what He did. He put us in the same position He was in. And that was a time that God had to choose the way of life, and He did. And He rejected the darkness. He was in the same position Adam was in the beginning of his way. Proverbs chapter 8, somewhere in chapter 8, it talks about in the beginning of God's way, He chose wisdom. So He had to make a choice. The life of God is a developing way. And as we choose life, we develop. We don't stay the same.
Mm-hmm. And when he got there, they were crying and wailing and everything that was anti-life.
Uh-huh.
So it said he put them out.
Yeah.
And he kept his circle.
Yeah.
With it. Years ago, God told me, He says, your friends are your scaffolding. You know when you're working on a building?
Yeah.
You put the scaffolding around it to support it while you're building it. So it's the same with us. We have to choose to get that negative influence
yeah.
to put them out. Uh-huh. I'm not saying you can't that you never associate with these people, your family. But you have to put them out while you're doing your work and keep your circle of friends around you as scaffolding, so when they see you leaning a little bit, because he's correcting me, Mary's correcting me, this Mary's correcting me. You know what I'm saying? They get you back on plumb. They're like,
yeah.
You know, they get you back on plumb. So we've got to put out the criers, the wellers, ah, oh, she's dead. And keep that circle of prayer warriors around us, people that you know that agree with the word, because you don't want everyone praying for you because they're praying, oh Lord, if it's your will, heal them. Well, that just shows they don't know God's will. So,
the deal is that when God created Adam and Eve, did they have cancer?
No.
Were they sick?
No.
Were they blind in one eye?
No.
Could they hear okay?
Yeah.
You know, well, if that was what he designed them to be, that was his will for them to be that way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, if we're not that way, then that's not God's will.
No.
Well, now we know what God's will is. Mm-hmm. We can pray God's will. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
God's will is for us to be able to see, be able to not have cancer, you know, be able to thrive and grow, right?
Yeah.
And if that's God's will, we can pray it with confidence.
Yeah.
And it is God's will. We've agreed to that, right?
Yes,
so we can pray that with confidence. We don't have to ask, is it your will?
Yeah. Uh-uh.
God didn't make Adam and Eve to get cancer.
Uh-uh.
You know? He didn't have cancer seed put in them. No, he didn't do that.
Do you know
so we can pray God's will over our bodies in full confidence.
Yeah.
Yes, but is it working against him if you get radiation or chemotherapy or wear glasses or?
Well, we're trying to reestablish what God wanted.
Yeah.
One way or the other. Mm-hmm. And we do it the way we know how.
Yeah.
We walk in the revelation we've got. Some people got a little bit more revelation than others, you know.
Mm-hmm. And so we're scaffolding.
Or more scaffolding, okay? And so, you know, you walk in what you've got.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
People can't walk in something they don't have.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And even when you've got it in your head, you may not have it.
Yeah.
You know, deep down inside, you have to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to build it in. Mm-hmm. You know, it took 3.5 years for Jesus to build some things in his disciples, and they still didn't get it. You know?
I'm still getting things in.
Yeah. So I mean, it's where it works in progress.
But he cast rebellion out of heaven, and a cancer cell is a rebellious cell. Your genes tell your cells you replicate like this. Kidney cells, you replicate like this. It's like a program, a computer program. Well, cancer cell is rebellious cell. It replicates out of order from what your genetic programming is telling it to do.
It's an attack.
It's an attack, but it's an attack of rebellion that God casts rebellion out of heaven.
That's
I think
good.
We should cast rebellion out of our bodies.
Yes.
I say that rebellion cannot exist here. This is a rebellion-free zone.
Yeah.
Right. And he's talking about Pastor Jim, that's one of his steps to what healing is today and what God's will to heal. And he does two more. He says, then you look at heaven. When you go to heaven, is there healing in heaven or is there sickness? There's healing. Then you look at the millennium when God has taken control back of the earth and Satan's bound. Is there sickness there and death? No, not until he releases the devil again. Mm-hmm. Then there's death. Mm-hmm. Because people chose it. So he takes it to three steps. When he
three
does
steps.
His, I guess 30 points now today. He's adds to their ideas.
As he is, so we in this world. And he is all authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying, I can hear the crack of the knees of obesity and whatever is troubling me. I hear the crack of his knees as it falls to the ground and submit to Christ.
Yeah.
Because it says every name that was ever named, that was ever worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah,
we're designed to operate just like him.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. just fill your heart with that part of his word and speak it.
He was an awesome coder, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Coded it.
You know, the word says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, so the praise and life excellence said they give God. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that's our body, so that we show praise and excellence from God. So it doesn't show praise to God if your body's, this treasure that's in your body is not working properly.
That's right.
We have to obey the natural and the spiritual.
Apostle Paul said he rejoiced to be found worthy to be beaten for Christ. His, you know, his heart was full of the word.
Yes.
And those beatings didn't stop him.
No.
And he went to jail. He just mastered it. He mastered the attacks. He became the master of the attack. He turned it against Satan.
And
made a mockery out of him.
You know, your mind. That's, I never thought about Paul and what he went through as much about his mind as his physical sufferings and his doing stuff physically. Do you know, he had the biggest fight was probably his mind.
Yeah, remember.
I mean, if everybody's been through something, you know, you get, give me a pill or something.
You know, in his persecution discourse, when he explained it in Corinthians, Brother Harden pointed out that he didn't mention being sick. And I never thought, I never saw, it never dawned on me that he didn't mention being sick. It was always outside trouble.
And he never mentioned his family. You know, he had to have families. Like, why are you chasing after this guy? He's not the Messiah. He never talked about the attacks from his family and friends. You know, it had to come. Even today, if a Jewish person converts to Christianity, they kind of take their pictures out of the family album. I mean, it's like severance. And he never talked about those things.
But he talked about the body of Christ.
Yes, he did.
All right, we better wrap up. Page 64. As we take communion, he said, "Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing. My spouse's healing, my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive." Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and wash me from every sin.
Amen.
I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is provision, preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. Thank you, Jesus. I love you because you first loved me.
Amen.
He covered all the bases. And sometimes I just have to learn about the bases I hadn't covered yet. And I see, you know, but in doing so, we solve our problems the same way God solved his. We choose the light and divide the darkness from it. Any comments, questions?
Good.
All right.
I heard a minister, what's his name? I forgot his name. He was talking about the table here is like Psalms 23. He prepares the table before being in the presence of my enemy.
Yeah. You know, the Lord doesn't waste light. He'll set you up. He'll bless you before your enemies to give them example. And they may not like it, but they'll see it. And then they'll be able to choose the light and reject the darkness. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Help us to go forward in you, doing all that's in your heart, using the last few moments of time to your favor, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.